Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It is a show on a Friday, which means Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. So, if you got thoughts on movies, television, or just questions, Michael will happily answer those for you. And if you have a question or thought about anything else, you can get in before that. The number is 713-780-3776. AJ and I here again as we close out the week. And Michael has seen Supergirl, a movie that has been crushed by some, enjoyed by others. I don't know that anyone thinks it's great. The performances of the titular Supergirl, her performance at least, has been applauded. Millie Alcock, you might know her from the young Rhaenyra from House of the Dragon. So we'll talk to Michael about what he thinks on that, if he agrees with some of the more scathing reviews or he doesn't. Michael, if you don't know, has a letterbox. We might ask him to tell you what that is so you can be up to date on what Michael thinks about movies before he joins us every week. So we'll get to that. We have certainly the U.S. national team or men's national team and their performance last night against Turkey, and whether it's important that they lost, how do you feel about it? That's been a discussion point. So we'll get to that too. But what happened before then, because that game started at 9, was an Astros win. They beat another team with a good pitching performance. The bats have been relatively quiet over the last week or so. They did have the 7 runs, I believe, they scored in a loss, but earlier this week. But for the most part, it has been tight ball games when you need your bullpen. Actually, it was a 9-7 win. It was a 9-7 win where they had an explosion from their bats. But for the most part, it's been tight ball games, and their pitching has come through. And that happened once again thanks to Tatsuya Imai. He bounced back from a poor performance he had and continues to recover from what was a disastrous start. On the field, off the field, it led to jokes that I certainly made, others have made, but as it stands now, he is now 5-3 on the season, and he's putting together performances that make you think whatever scouting they did to get him over here, or at least convince themselves that he should be an Astro and then eventually sign him, maybe that scouting was right, because he strikes out 10 last night against Detroit. That follows up an 11 strikeout outing against the Guardians. He did not pitch well against the Kansas City Royals. That's the one stinker over the month of June. So he's fared, you know, pretty well the last couple times against the AL Central, not so much against Kansas City, and then he had a pretty good start against the A's. As the strikeout numbers are certainly ballooning. He's had an 8 strikeout performance, 11, and then 10 in this month. That had not been the case in his previous starts, you know, except that one time against the A's in early April where he had 9. So it's good to see. And his starts, or at least his pitches, are mystifying broadcasters for other teams. So he's playing or pitching against the Detroit Tigers. So you're going to hear Jason Benetti of the Tigers play-by-play broadcast. He is a ESPN guy as well, but when he's not being called on to do ESPN games, he calls Tigers baseball. I believe he's like a college football guy for ESPN, and he does some NBC stuff as well. He does a lot, but his regular job, his day-to-day job, is calling Tigers baseball. So here's Jason Benetti and his partner, I don't know the name of the guy, discussing Imai's pitch, I think it's his slider, and how difficult it is to track for a batter.
You're not going to do anything with that.
It's got different shapes to it. That one cut down and in to the left-handed hitter when he threw one earlier in the at-bat that had arm side run on it. It's got it's a pitch with its own personality. It's got multiple personalities.
For Outman from Imai. That's there. Strike three. That's three different pitches, all with the same name. It's like George Foreman's kids. Imai.
So there is
that's there.
Tatsuya Imai and his you would say his array of pitches, but it just happens to be the same pitch that just moves differently depending on how he wants to throw it. So just to clean it up a little bit, Benetti doesn't work for ESPN anymore. He did, but he is now calling NBA games for NBC, and then he worked for Fox calling college football games this past year. So Imai getting it done, and the Astros are as well. You want to shout out to Taylor Trammell for another timely home run. That has been the case for what is not a great outfield, at least as far as being productive at the plate. But he hit a home run, and then Paredes had a sac fly. Those were the two runs scored in a tight ball game that went into the ninth tied. Or at least, the Astros were up 1-0, got an insurance run, and they needed it because De Los Santos, who hasn't been great recently, gave up a home run to Dingler. But the two runs were enough, so they win the first game of that series. It's a 4-game series against the Tigers. They're at it again today in Detroit. Detroit's bad. A.J. Hinch has a bad baseball team. And A.J. Hinch has the same record as, well, at least his Tigers have the same record as the Mets. And the Mets fire their manager, A.J. Hinch, in better standing, at least right now, if the Tigers keeps his job. But the Mets fire their manager. That's the breaking news from baseball, because you pay that type of money to those players, and you're 34-47. Someone's got to pay for it, and that someone was Carlos Mendoza. You know, there was some thought about Espada being someone who could lose his job the way the Astros started. I don't know that I see the benefit of firing your manager during the middle of a season when you can point to a roster deficient in talent and pitching. What manager is going to fix it? Now, we've seen some turnarounds. I think the most notable one this year is the Phillies. They were bad. They fired their manager and ripped off a long winning streak. And now they are in the race, 4 games behind the Braves, and definitely a playoff team, it looks like. So it could happen. The Astros decided not to make a move, if it was even a decision, and the team is playing better. So while the lame duck nature of Joe Espada remains, his team, at least right now, is playing in a way that maybe there is a future for him here if they can put together a division-winning run. All right, we'll go to break with that. You guys are welcome to join us, 713-780-3776. I do want to remind you, part of the reason AJ is here is because we continue with our watch parties. We got one more today, this time at By the Wayside, brought to you by Huntington Bank. Go out there from 12 to 6. You can see the guys starting at 12, the bullpen. It'll be Brian and Sean, and then following them, Jeremy and Joe. So the watch parties continue because a certain big tournament continues, and it's all brought to you by Huntington Bank. And speaking of that tournament, we'll get to sound from the manager of the U.S. national team when we come back, Mauricio Pochettino. He'd like everyone who has criticisms about a loss in what, for the most part, at least when it comes to the standings, was a meaningless game. He wants you all to relax, so we'll hear from him. We'll talk about some of the quotes from Nick Caley as his quarterback continues to be super locked in. Some would even say stupidly locked in, if you know that phrase, because it is a big year for CJ, big year for Nick Caley. So Nick Caley, we'll talk about his early struggles as the Texans coach and how things are changing there. And then we have certainly some other things on the table because NBA movement continues. We have another star who may be on the move. And it's mostly because when you play like this guy did in the playoffs, it's tough for the team to give you the money you think you deserve. So a lot to get to here. We're just getting started. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to more basketball stuff as we move forward. But it must be pretty nice for the Thunder to just trade away a guy for a couple picks to shed some salary. They trade Isaiah Joe to the Pistons, who are very active in trying to improve their offensive weaponry. Isaiah Joe goes there. He shot over 40% from three. Fell out of the playoff rotation because of the strength of that roster. They've already traded Wiggins away. Joe's the next guy, and they're simply just trying to cut salary. And they recoup a couple second-round picks from the Pistons, who have space to take guys in. And the Pistons are still trying to make moves, and they may be forced into one that they weren't expecting. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But that Thunder team is losing pieces as just the reality of the finances in the NBA are catching up to them. And I don't know the totality of the tax bill as and the savings for this, but this is what this is. We trade a guy who is a valuable member of our team for a couple second-round picks when we're a contender. It's because we want to get his just over $11 million off our books because we're trying to cut cost. So that's what's going on right now, at least in the NBA. And there's some other things we can talk about. As far as what happened last night, game started at 9, ended around 11:15 or whatever. The U.S. on the final kick of the match lose 3-2 to Turkey. They gave up a goal on the final kick last night. They scored a goal on the final kick. If we think all the way back to game one, Gio Reyna scored a goal at the final kick of that match. So, hey, it worked in our favor in a 4-1 win. Did not work in our favor last night as Mauricio Pochettino subbed in a lot of guys. And the circumstances were pretty plain and expected going in. You have several guys with yellow cards. You don't want to put them in a spot where one mistake leads to missing out on the knockout round, at least the first game of the knockout round. So those guys sat, you rested some other guys, and it looked like a team who had backups, at least for their center backs. Their center backs are a problem. It's one of the reasons you have a 38-year-old Tim Ream who does not play in Europe. He did for a long time, but now plays in the MLS. He is one of your stalwarts because there's just not much behind him. McKenzie and Robinson, not Anthony, Miles, aren't good enough. And you watch some of that indecision cost them on the first goal. And on the second, Robinson had a chance to make an intervention just to either get the ball out of danger or even if you have to guide the ball out of bounds for a corner, he just cannot get his foot on the ball, and it led to Turkey's second goal, and then the final goal was just Pulisic getting cooked, leading to an eventual cross to the box. And once again, yeah, like three guys behind Matt Turner, the goalie, as he challenged the defender on the wing, pretty much, at least on the edge of the 6-yard box. And three guys couldn't get the ball out. A deflection, and they took it away from another guy who had a chance, and then it led to a Turkey goal. So they went 3-2. But the positives, I believe, are no one got hurt. I guess Trusty looked like he had a bad ankle turn, and then he got up and finished the match. So we'll see what that means as far as one of their backup defenders. But all in all, you got a goal from Berhalter. You got a goal from Trusty early, another hot start for the U.S., and you take away from it, you got down and fought back and kind of controlled that second half after coming out of halftime trailing. You scored a great goal, and you had some chances, particularly when Pulisic came in, to jump out 3-2. The U.S. can be lethal in attack, which is not something we've been able to say about this country and the program for a while. And when it comes to actual top-tier competition, maybe never. The problem is they're not great when they have to defend. You see some of the threads that can be pulled. I don't want to call it lackadaisical, but they just don't have the ability consistently to snuff out things. And if they could figure that out between now and Bosnia, they got a real chance of going a bit of a run. But I am far more nervous than I have been in the past, because first, they don't have a great goalkeeper. The backup was in last night, but even their starter's not great. And also, there are times where you think a simple intervention here or there will stop an attack, and it just doesn't happen. Now, the backups, as I said, were in last night, so hopefully when Richards and Ream are back, they can figure that out. But you lose 3-2 on a final kick, it's fine. And your manager, who has coached some of the biggest clubs in the world, took issue with the questioning. The conversations leading up to it, to the match, were, hey, are you going to play, guys? Who are you going to play? Who aren't you going to play? Because we want to keep the momentum. How important is momentum for this U.S. team? The country's behind you. You want to go out there and win again. You don't want things to change. How many players that you depend on to be a part of your starting 11 are going to play? Turns out only one started. Now, you had other starters come in late, but Weston McKennie was your only starter to start the match. And he wasn't even playing it in a real traditional role for him. So here is Pochettino responding to some of the questions in the press conference about the loss and a potential lack of momentum.
That is a little bit sad. It's very positive to finish in the way that we finish. Cannot be possible, I'm sorry guys, it cannot be possible that Turkey finishes celebrating the 3 points and Australia celebrating the qualification, Paraguay celebrating the qualification, and come here and for you not to say congratulations that we won the group. That is a little bit sad, but only that. I need to remember you and everyone that we won the group. Sorry, guys. We won.
Remember, we're number one in the group. I don't expect American media to congratulate you for winning. I don't expect that to happen. Because if we remember back to the football season, I don't remember the exact circumstance. But didn't that Jacksonville reporter, she was a woman, she ran her own smaller paper. She got criticized for comforting pretty much Liam Cohen after their playoff loss. And people were questioning her professionalism and saying, hey, other reporters, and they, I think, might have used the term real reporters, although she was a very accomplished woman. She had interviewed presidents before. But they're questioning, hey, real reporters got questions, and it's not time to comfort the head coach. And
Duval.
There he is. There is a debate about that. So there is a certain expectation of the media, and one of them isn't to congratulate you on winning. So I get not getting that from the media, but for him and the team, and really how you watch these tournaments being managed. It's what's the reward of winning with all your starters when the risk was a couple of them, forget about injuries, which are always on the table, but a couple of them, if they make a hard challenge or they try to stop a goal from happening and it's just a simple grab. Like it happens at midfield. If one of the opposition is breaking away and you want to stop a potential attack, you just grab them, slow them down, and that could be a yellow. And that could mean one of your stars, because they did something instinctual to stop a counter, is now missing out on the biggest game in 4 years. So that risk wasn't taken. And for the most part, that second half, you controlled it up until the final moments. I got no problems with it. I expected it. It went as far as game management, team management. I expected it to go that way. And they just so happened to not be able to clear a ball in the last seconds. And it goes from a tie to a win for Turkey. And that's that. Glenn Davis joined the guys this morning and talked about it as well. If you missed any of that, you can certainly go back to the John and Lance podcast and listen to Glenn Davis, the preeminent voice in this city for the World's game. And speaking of the world, Brazil and Japan coming to town. Glenn's going to be able to call that game. That's the matchup in Houston. Tickets, I imagine, they're not already sold out. Going to be a tough buy for anyone trying to get to a knockout round game featuring those two countries, and particularly Brazil, who may be without Rapinha, who's dealing with an injury. He's one of their star attackers, certainly along with Vinny Jr. So Rapinha, who is a big part of the Brazil's potential chance at another world title, is dealing with an injury. But he said he will do everything in his power to play. And the other story around him is, allegedly, his father stole a lot of money from him. His father, we talk about NIL here. His father owned 80% of the player's image rights for years. So that's out there. You know, we have different versions of that here, where Tatis took a down payment or an advance from a company, and they get to take a part of his salary in exchange for that advance for several years. So we hear these stories. When it's the dad, it's tough. I don't know the particulars, but to hear that your dad had 80% of your image rights, you're still my dad because that's biological, but you're not coming to family dinners if I can't get that back. Why, as my father, why do you want 80% of that? Oh, I know why you want it, but why did you take that? Why? How I agreed to it, I don't know. I don't know the fight. Maybe the dad said, hey, this is just for business purposes. Don't worry about it. But apparently Rapinha should have. So he's got a couple concerns as Brazil's coming to town to face Japan. Japan, who guaranteed their qualification with a 1-1 draw yesterday. Or was it 2 days ago now? No, yesterday, I believe. Yeah, they tied with Sweden. We know Sweden was in town when they got demolished by the Netherlands. Sweden will advance along with the Netherlands, who beat Tunisia. So you'll get three teams from group. Well, I don't even know the name of the group. Let's go group. Let's just say the Netherlands group as I try to pull up the group name. But the thing that came out of that was Sweden's goal scorer, Elanga, did not know that a tie meant his team advanced. So he was despondent on the field after the game was over, thinking they needed to win. I'm hearing that sounder back there. Needing to win. needing to win. And then the coach was like, look, love the kid, but we told him. We told everyone. It was pretty clear. Graham Potter, who had coached in England for different clubs, but now is the Swedish national team coach. Hey, I told that guy, a tie is enough. I don't know what he was listening to or what he heard, but it was expressed to everyone, and we know he knows or should have known that a tie. He had a great goal, but thought it wasn't enough. But Sweden's one of the top third place teams, so they're going to advance as we start to get to the big stuff, as there are still groups to be decided and brackets to be filled out. But what we know is it's the U.S. versus Bosnia, Herzegovina, on July 1st. Brazil plays Japan here in town. South Africa versus Canada. The Brazil-Japan game is June 29th. So it's coming up here pretty soon. Japan doesn't have as much time as the U.S. does. Part of not winning your group and finishing where they did means you're at a bit of a disadvantage because Brazil finished up their group before Japan did, so they'll have some more rest. But still got plenty of places to be decided, or plenty of matchups to be decided. But Australia is through thanks to their 1-1 tie against Paraguay. Switzerland, when they beat Canada, secured their group. Argentina's through as the group leader. So we're getting there. The matches get more important, the drama gets more important, and the U.S. will be part of that, which is exciting. We just got to wait till Wednesday to see what they do against a team they should beat, but we got to see it play out. All right, we'll go to break. We'll do some Texans when we come back because Nick Caley talked about the start of his year last year and what he's learned from it as he goes into year two with the Texans and his quarterback, C.J. Stroud. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So I was going to get into some Texan stuff, but what I saw out there when I was walking to the restroom is far more interesting to me, and it leads me to ask some questions. So when I came in this morning, on our table where there's the coffee machine right next to the fridge, there was a little note that said, please take one. And what was I being asked to take was a bag of cheese-flavored Takis. There's like 4 mini bags of cheese-flavored Takis. I don't know where they came from. They just happened to be on the table when I got it. So you know what? I was like, you know what? I'm going to grab some for later. It's a reasonable thing. Have them for later, maybe a quick little nibble as the show's going on, just to give you a little energy, or just you want a talkie, whatever the reason for it is.
Are you still there?
That's reasonable. When I walked out to the restroom, there was a trail of cheese talkies on the ground leading into the restroom. Not a lot, but you could tell where it was leading. One here, one there, and then the final talkie was on top of the urinal. So first, you're like, why are we dribbling Takis as we go along? What are you, a child? And then the other, not even just a child, like a 4-year-old who can't keep the food in your mouth or in your hands or in the bag. Okay, that's one thing. But why did the Taki make it up on top of the urinal? Were you just eating out of the Taki bag and then one fell out of your mouth or fell out of the bag and you were like, you know what? I'm not such a trash panda that I'm going to take the Taki off the top of the urinal and eat it. I'm just going to leave it there. And because of my knowledge of where the Takis came from, I know it came from inside here. Yeah. I know it. We don't have a lot of people traversing level 4 here, and the Takis were waiting for us. And now there were like 4 bags when I got here. I took one. Only one bag remains. So I know at least 2 bags were taken by someone else. Maybe they took both. Maybe split it up between 2 people. So the question for me, AJ, is beyond the nastiness of taking your Takis and eating them as you go along into the restroom, and not even just going into the restroom, using it, because I don't know how they make it to the on top of the urinal otherwise. Who do you think this disgusting individual is? It could be one of the interns, and they're out there, and they haven't said anything. They're busy playing 82-0. Our interns do that. Those 2 specific interns do that because they're normally here when I'm doing the show. It's either 82-0 or the football version of it. I heard Carmelo Anthony out there, yeah. So I know it's 82-0.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, it's a game where you pick different players from eras of the NBA, and you have to put a team together, and the goal is to go 82-0. Like, I think the key, you need to get Wilt. If you get Wilt Chamberlain, you have a real shot to go 82-0 no matter who you put beside him. But they're doing that. They have not come in to go, it wasn't us eating Takis, but I'm going to assume it wasn't. I'm going to assume those two at some point would have decided, you know what, I'm going to the restroom. I'm just going to leave my bag here. I feel like the top choice is Lance.
Yeah. And
who else? Who yeah. else? We yeah. don't have a lot of people here at this time. It's been me, you, the two interns, Lance and John. John was in studio, so that's another one. Michael Carroll is here, but those two bags were gone, I believe, before he got here. There's one bag remaining. I'm going to go with the obvious choice of Lance because not only is there one on top of the urinal, there's a trail of them, and we know he's messy.
Seems intentional.
You think, I don't know if he did. I don't think he did it on purpose. I just think he's a mess. I don't know, man. The cherry on top was the fact that there's a little cheese flavored Takis on top of the urinal. I'm not touching it. Look, I expect that thing to be there. I don't know how, I guess the cleaning people come in, so I guess they'll take care of it at some point. But I think it'll be there up until they start cleaning the building at night, because who's touching that? I don't know that Lance did it. But it's my safe assumption. It's ridiculous. Look, I like a cheese flavor snack like anyone else. I'm not carrying it into the restroom.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to ask him. I'm not going to text him about it because that's not the most fun way to do it. He's going to get hit with that question on the air on Monday, and we'll see how he responds. I'll have an answer for anyone who wants an answer to who's taking Takis into the restroom and dropping crumbs as they move along. I was like, man, come on, man.
He's going to deny it.
Of course he will. But you're going to be able to tell by the response because unless he's listening right now, he's not going to expect it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it at 7. He's just going to slide it in at some point.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, don't tweet him. It's funnier if he's not expecting it. We'll just slide it in at some point. He might ask a question. I'm like, excuse me, I got a question for you. Was this you? And then we'll see what he does. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to someone who I would imagine isn't taking cheese-flavored snacks into a public restroom. That's Nick Caley. I can't be sure, but I'm going to assume he's got other things on his mind. Like, in fact, let me cut that right here because we got to go to break. I got too long-winded on my investigation. We'll go and talk about Nick Caley on the other side of this break. But before we do that, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You go there if you got a problem. Look, if you drop enough cheese-flavored Takis into your toilet, you may have a plumbing problem. And the people who would fix it is Aqueduct Plumbing Company, or the people there. They're owned by Billy Brown, friend of the station, friend certainly to John and Lance. And if you got a problem, his people will take care of you. From a small job, like a clogged toilet, to a big job, which would entail a repipe of your entire home. They're the people you go to, and you can check out all they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. They have a nice services menu that tells you all the things they do. Where you see that repipe, maybe it's a leak detection. Maybe you have an issue with the fixture. They'll help you out there. Also, contractors, if you're looking for one of those, a plumbing contractor. Remember, any plumbing issue, they're there for you. You can also call them at 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Get yourself a free quote. You can do that right now on the website. If you got a problem but you don't know what it is and you certainly don't want to be charged for someone telling you what the problem is, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the way to go. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Nick Caley, in words to the Chronicle, told that publication, he struggled early in his OC tenure. And if we remember back then, it seems a long time ago now, considering how the Texans played after the start, they were 0-3 and not scoring touchdowns. If you remember, they didn't score a touchdown against the Rams. they got a couple against Tampa, but one of them felt like Todd Bowles letting them score, because when Todd Bowles is asked about it, he goes, I'm neither confirming or denying that. So it was an odd way to answer a question. It just felt like he needed the Texans to get that score in so he could get the ball back. It was a long touchdown run, and then Baker Mayfield led a game-winning drive. And then if we go to the Jacksonville game, part of their, I believe, 0-3 start, the one touchdown they scored, Jacksonville just left Nico Collins wide open down the sideline, and he scored. So they weren't exactly an offensive juggernaut. They never really became one, but they did get better over the course of the season. And Nick Caley is echoing what every Texan who's asked about CJ has said, locked in. They are locked in. We've heard other players say they've got more things installed compared to last year. And as a first-time OC, you're not going to be at your best, at least with everything. There have been certainly some OCs who've come on the scene and been great in their first year. Nick Caley, let's say that wasn't the case, and we can also talk about maybe not having the personnel that he wanted, but he's a guy who this team appears to be built around his philosophy. He wants to, at least we're being told, he wants to run the ball, wants a physical offensive line, and the Texans will do that and play off the running game as opposed to being a quarterback-driven offense. We'll see how that works for their starting quarterback. But at the moment, he appears to be he appears to be the most in tune and most locked in an offseason that he has ever been. Those are the words from everyone, according to Nick Caley. There was a lot of progress from CJ, or a lot of progress the offense and CJ made last year. They got better. That's true. They got better as the season went along. And CJ has done a great job in the offseason. He looks good. He's locked in. So all positive things from the OC to the media about his quarterback. And we know this organization doesn't have a problem getting rid of an OC after a disappointing second year. And
football is football.
Okay. Thanks for that. And you would say, coming off of year one, Bobby Slowick came in to year two with more acclaim than Nick Caley has. The quarterback, his rookie year was great, even though the offense was somewhat middling. But when you have a quarterback who plays well, your OC is going to get a lot of credit. That has not been the case for Nick Caley as far as potential head coaching openings or head coach openings and just general overall praise. He's kind of been someone that people wait and see with him. And see, now that you believe you have your offensive line fixed and you got yourself a bell cow running back, what can he be? I've talked to Sean about this. He is my most important member of that offense this year. Is he going to be able to coordinate an offense that complements the defense that is certainly Super Bowl caliber? I think there's a baseline for what CJ Stroud can be, but I do think he's a player who needs the OC and the other players around him to be great. Like, some guys can elevate. I have no evidence to believe that if his teammates are average to subpar, CJ's going to be able to elevate them. Maybe that comes this year, but right now I'm leaning to Nick Caley needing to elevate this offense, because the sum of its parts, as much as they've done to add, they're either, let's say, average, at least their performances were last year, or unproven. And that is pretty much the wide receiver core outside of Nico. And certainly Tank Dell has proven to be a productive NFL player. We just don't know how the significant leg injuries are going to hamper him or how recovered he is. So can Nick Caley take a step to be one of those OCs that rises, or at least raises all the boats, as opposed to being someone who is middling and the offense performs that way? So he feels good about his quarterback. He feels good about the improvement last year and what's going on this year. Let's see if his feelings are right. Let's get to Keith here. He wants to talk some NBA. A lot of NBA stuff going on. I want to remind you that Michael Carroll joins us at 11:30. So if you got sports stuff to get to before we wrap it up for the week, now's the time. All right, what's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Obviously, big NBA trade this morning, in my opinion. The number one seed in the East, they didn't win the title, but the Pistons had some much-needed shooting. Isaiah Joe, they lost that Game 7 to Cleveland by 30 points, shot 30% in that game from three. Isaiah Joe, fresh legs, 42% from three. Do you think that's enough to get the Pistons kind of over the hump? And second question, obviously I'm an hour early for Michael Carroll, but have you watched that show Cape Fear on Apple TV? Thanks, guys.
So the Pistons, I think their biggest problem is creation beyond Cade. They had Duncan Robinson, which was their sniper last year. Getting Isaiah Joe certainly helps their ability on the perimeter. It may lead to Duncan Robinson being cut because I believe he has a partial guarantee of $3 million, so that would save the Pistons some money if they decide to swap one shooter for another and a cheaper version, and Isaiah Joe could add more on the defensive end of the floor. So Pistons need a second creator. I don't know where they're going to find it. There's some thought that even with Isaiah Joe, they may still be targeting a Norm Powell because some of their bigger names aren't going to come about. They had some interest in Kobe White. He is going back to the Hornets. And also, they have interest in Kawhi, but the reporting is that Kawhi has no interest in signing an extension there. So that might give the Pistons some pause as far as making that type of star acquisition. Their own star, at least he was in the regular season, is Jalen Duren. He is a guy who was one of the bigger playoff droppers we've ever seen. Consistently. We had our own guy here in James Harden who had moments where he was a giant playoff dropper. But over the course of a series, Jalen Duren is one of the guys who wiped away all the goodwill pretty much from what he did in the regular season, that breakout regular season, by what he did in the playoffs. And that apparently has led to a giant gap, or at least a big enough gap in between what he thinks he should get paid and what the Pistons are willing to pay him, that he was reported to be seeking out a trade. Now, the Pistons have used Chris Haynes, the reporter, to toss water on that, saying, we're not trading him. Doesn't matter. We're going to work to get a deal done, but we're not trading him. So whether the sign and trade is a real thing from Jalen Duren or an attempt to put pressure on the Pistons to get a deal done, they still would have to give him permission. He's not a restricted free agent, so he can't just go negotiate a deal and see what the Pistons do to match. Also, there's not a lot of teams with salary cap space unless he wants to join like the Nets or something. Maybe the Bulls, I think, has some space too, although they just brought in Claxton, right? So salary cap space is decreasing as the days go. But Duren looks to be a Piston, even if it is not the deal he wants, because at least right now they're telling us they're not going to trade him. Isaiah Joe, nice pickup. Only had to give up a couple second-round picks, and he adds to the stable of guys who can make shots. Not enough for the Pistons. They want to go where they want to go. Creation is hard to come by. Costs money to find a guy who's not a defensive liability and can create for himself and others. Norman Powell is not a good defender. And one of the Pistons reporters kind of went through some of the analytics behind Norman Powell and said, yeah, I don't really want a guy who consistently doesn't pass the open guys to take contested shots. That's part of Norman Powell's game. He's not a guy who creates for others or makes the extra pass. So we will see if that comes about. And while there's a thought that he would stay with the Heat, the numbers that Norman Powell thinks he can command looks like they're going to price him outside of the Heat's range. Although maybe considering those analytics, maybe they don't want him around either, considering who they just signed. So a lot's going on in the NBA. The Rockets at the moment, a little quiet. We'll see if they do anything as stuff gets sussed out, because the big players have to move and get their money, and then you start to see what's left over and who wants to trade who. And can the Rockets find improvement there? I've seen some people go, hey, I'll trade Fred plus whatever for Ja right now. Looks like Fred's going to opt in to his $25 million deal. Get comfortable with how much they love Fred, I'd say. The dream of trading for Ja, who at the moment, according to Brian Windhorst, is a negative asset, that the Grizzlies would have to add stuff to get him off their books. I don't think the Rockets want to be playing in the John Morant pool. Super talented player. Maybe being with a better team would unlock some of the things that made him a star. But the Grizzlies have decided Bain out, Jaren Jackson out, and the king to that city, or the king of that city, Ja, they hope to be next. It's just not a market for him. I think teams need to be enticed to take him. Doesn't feel like the Rockets are going to be one of those teams. All right, we'll go to break with that. I was thinking just before we went to break, how much is Jalen Duren actually worth?
30 mil per year, maybe?
That's the problem he has, right? That people think he's just a $30 million per year guy.
It's the truth.
You got to, as much as that was a fun regular season for the Pistons, they won 60 games. If the goal is to win a title, you have shown yourself to be a detriment to that as opposed to an ad. So he's in a tough spot. He's young. He may be barely 23 years old. The Pistons want him. They just can't agree. And we've seen in this city, the Rockets just don't give out max deals to young players. They have a negotiation that have been pretty quiet. The only one that came out that there was a problem was Tari because he never signed. The other guys, they just get a deal. They agree to it whether it wasn't what they were shooting for. They come to an agreement. They want to be Rockets. They get their money. Shingun, Jalen before he got traded, Jabari. Tari was the one. And now this year, we'll see about Amen Thompson. If we hear a report about Amen not being happy with the offer, I would doubt it. The Rockets seem to either just keep it quiet or make the guys happy. All right, we'll go to break. Keith, you talked about Cape Fear. We'll get to that and other stuff when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.